Welcome back to the Blasphemous Pope Cathedral. I am your Blasphemous Pope, Harry, and I hope you enjoy this sermon. This sermon is guaranteed to make everybody probably a little angry, so there's that. Before we get started with the sermon, I want to deal with, obviously, the housekeeping notes, the Friends of the Blasphemous Pope podcast. We have Donna Van Meter over at Van Meter Design Studio, Amy Lynn Russell, one of our researchers, Vincent Easley over at RLM Media, We Trade Free, Kennedy Edwards, and London Gardens over on Twitter, and Christy Caruana and Mike Witt. All of these people have helped generate interest and shared the message of the Blasphemous Pope, and this little shout out here is an appreciation of that. If you do wish to be added to this list at this point, you would have to become a supporter, and that can be done for as little as 99 cents a month. If you wish to support this podcast and have your name shouted out on the podcast every Wednesday at 3 p.m., you just have to, you know, click on that support button. Otherwise, this podcast is supported by ads, and I am not a rich man, so that revenue is what pays for the projects that I do in real time and advertise. One Friend of the Blasphemous Pope podcast I have not yet mentioned is Star O'Hara, and that is because she's got so much going on that I have to set her apart. She stands alone. Okay, so Star O'Hara has a new book out, How to Survive Dystopia with Your Humanity Intact. I have read this book. I highly recommend this book. If you have not heard of Star O'Hara, I would suggest you look her up on Twitter, on Facebook. She has a Substack, The Dispatches from Dystopia, I believe it is called, and that is that. I did mention other projects. Other projects, generally, I share them either via my WordPress site at harryfelker.wordpress.com or on my TikTok, harryfelkerbase. Just Instagram is such a hassle for me to share stuff on because, you know, space on my phone, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, that being said, I do have a language warning that comes with this podcast. I kind of pride myself on the fact that despite my upbringing, despite the influences in my young life, I managed to not swear throughout 90% of my podcast, well, 100% of my podcast as of today. And I kind of pride myself on that because I want the information that I share to be shared with children, with young adults, and I don't think that my New York four-letter vocabulary generally needs to be shared with children, and I understand that there are people who do not want that, and I don't want to put that wall between young minds getting access to this knowledge. However, that being said, we have a conundrum here, because this is a very personal subject to me, and this would be one of those times that strong language may be appropriate or may be justified. And I think it's important that we understand that there are certain subjects that allow for a more passionate discourse or a more passionate oratory tradition than a clean broadcast. I will be returning to being 100% clean. I don't even guarantee that I will be swearing in this. I'm just putting it out there that it might happen as everything rolls off of my tongue. So, Sermon 11. Might as well get this started as, you know, people are going to get big mad, and I want to make sure they get what they pay for with their mad. Sermon 11. The Alpha and the Omega of Liberty, otherwise known as the Gentle Art of Minding Your Own Business. We will be starting that right after this short message, and I hope to see you when you come, when we come back. Bye. Welcome back. Thank you for coming back after that short ad break. Now, I mentioned the Alpha and the Omega, and I understand the religious connotation of that from Greek Orthodox Christianity. I'm using it in the sense of the beginning and the end, not in the sense of the content of Greek Christian Orthodoxy. So, to be completely honest, this is not necessarily pro any religious sermon. This is about liberty, about individual liberty, and where the beginning and end of that liberty is. So what is the beginning and end of individual liberty? In my humble opinion, it is bodily autonomy. Now, bodily autonomy is the axiomatic belief that you own your body and therefore no one else has authority over your consent. Now, you may or may not agree with ownership as a word for how you use your body, but it is self-evident, I guess. It's the way it is, whether you like it or not. When you have bodily autonomy, you have full authority to allow access or to deny access to your body. Therefore, you own your body. There is a picture of a human nervous system, you know, brains, eyes, and all of the nerves down the spinal column, all that jazz. And the statement on it is, this is all you are, and you are driving a bone mech with meat armor. And that is fundamentally the truth. The body is just our tool to experience the world around us. We, as a floating brain, have zero ability to really interact with the world around us. The body is what makes that possible. Whether or not you are religious, this is just the way it is. Whether it's your consciousness or your soul that you wish to invoke as who you are, it's irrelevant. That's aside the point completely. Now, the whole idea of bodily autonomy is the direct result of having a body. That is what makes it axiomatic. You have a body, therefore you have bodily autonomy. It's just the way it works. And that is, in fact, the starting point of all individual liberty. We can see, via looking at everything else that we consider a free person, that this is how it works. If you have bodily autonomy, it is understood that you have the right to defend that body by any means necessary. If you have bodily autonomy, it means that you can grant access or deny access to whomever you choose. You can engage in situations or leave situations at your discretion. That is bodily autonomy, the right of association. Your right to use the body. If you choose, you know, to use your body in any way, shape, or form, whether that be sex work or be who you're attracted to, or whether you want to use drugs or you don't want to use drugs or what have you, all of that stuff is because you have bodily autonomy. even the right to privacy and the right to a peaceful and dignified end to your life is all part of bodily autonomy. It all stems from that. I could wax philosophically about this for hours and hours and hours, but I don't think that that helps anybody out, really. The reality is that we have to look at it from the point of view of you are the property owner in your body, and therefore your consent is 100% what makes whether or not you can be considered free or not considered free is the level of extent of your bodily autonomy. If you are not free to choose who you can and cannot interact with, you are not free. When we come back, we will be talking about applying it to reality. See you then. Okay, so applying the whole theory of bodily autonomy to reality. So in the past couple of years, this has been, and it's not just the past couple of years, but the highlights of this have been over the last couple of years. Governments, statesmen, and people who generally can't mind their own fucking business have come together to really try to assault bodily autonomy over many different ways. We're going to start with something that happened over 2020, the COVID-19 panic. I'm going to call it a panic. Yes, I do understand that COVID-19 is a disease that actually exists, and I do understand that you can get sick from it. I had originally tried to do a podcast on bodily autonomy at the beginning of July 2022, but I had come down with COVID-19. I had actually caught it, and I do have to say that as far as diseases are concerned, I was not very impressed with its performance as a extinction event level plague, to be fair. Now, I understand mileage varies, and there are people who are at risk, and I understand it's a very serious disease for them. But mandates, mandates, mandates. The first tool right out of the box, government says you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't this, you can't that, you gotta take this shot. And you heard it on the media. If you were at least remotely close to conscious in 2020, or if you were not living in an Amish community, you had to know something was going on as far as COVID-19, as far as government overreach and their reaction, and all of this being supported by the media and then by society in general. We are talking about people literally abandoning family members because of a difference of opinion on COVID-19. That is how serious that had gotten. And how does bodily autonomy come into play here? Well, the understanding that people should have the innate right to use their body as they choose was assaulted. Whether or not they had to give consent, or informed consent, for treatments was also assaulted, and this was done via government mandate, and it turned to be one of the more divisive events in human history, where family members were literally ostracizing each other over a difference of opinion regarding government and their mandates with COVID-19. Now, I'm not going to go into the proof of the pudding of whether or not the efficacy was there, or whether or not the truth had come out about certain lies involving COVID-19, but the fact of the matter is, it was an assault on bodily autonomy. and a lot of people were on the wrong side of that one. Another application to reality is the whole debate over abortion. Now, my opinion about abortion is that humans could do better than this. I will be completely honest, I am not a giant fan of the practice of abortion. It shouldn't be a surprise. It's not the best that humans can do, in my opinion. That being said, we have to come to an understanding that we have two bodies here, and regardless of the fact that they're both autonomous, neither one of them loses their autonomy. And when we consider the fact that the mother never loses her autonomy, her right to use her body as she chooses falls in line here. As much as I do not like the practice of abortion, and I wish it would not have to be used, we have to understand that this is not an easy decision for people to make. This is not a decision that doesn't come with scars, and we kind of need compassion in this area when we consider what's going on. And the reality is, the person with the bodily autonomy that matters here is the mother whose body is being used as an incubator for a baby, and that's her right to refuse to have that child. When we come back, we will continue along. And we are back. All right, so continuing along, applying it to reality. The next thing, it's a little bit on the controversial side, the right to end your life with dignity. Now, when I was growing up, when I was a young man, there was a doctor rolling around, I believe it was throughout the Pacific Northwest and California, known as Dr. Kevorkian. Now, what service Dr. Kevorkian would provide for people was end-of-life services. Basically, if you were terminally ill and you no longer wanted to be a part of this world, you wanted to shuffle free the mortal coil, he would basically put you to sleep, you know, permanently. And there was a lot of debate regarding this, and this was a lot more to do with whether or not it was legally considered murder, if someone was consenting to die, whether or not suicide should be considered a legal activity, and that is something that you should not hear in a free society. And let me explain. If there is, for some reason or another, you feel that your existence on this material plane that we all enjoy, and well, sometimes, if you feel that you shouldn't be here, well, who is the better arbiter of that than yourself? Now, you can go down every single rabbit hole of, oh, well, maybe they have mental illness, maybe they have this, maybe that. That's irrelevant. They have bodily autonomy. We cannot just take bodily autonomy away from people when they want to do things that, you know, we don't want them to do. Do I want to see people, you know, jumping from bridges or making Jackson Pollocks in the wall behind them? No, I don't. I don't especially want that to happen for a lot of people. But we have to understand that the right to decide whether or not you wish to continue your life is yours and yours alone. If you wish to no longer interact with the material world, who is in a better position to tell you to do that than yourself? You can say it's selfish, you can say it's cowardly, you can say it's whatever, it doesn't matter. It is a decision, just like, do I want to cross the street or do I want to stay on this side of the street? And looking at it as something else is just saying that because I don't agree with your activity, I feel that I have the right to take authority over you, you know. And again, this is where a dose of mind your own fucking business comes into play. Because if you mind your own fucking business, then yeah, is it sad that someone feels that they need to exit the world? Yes, especially if it's someone you know. But you have no idea what kind of suffering they're going through, and that's, is it really selfish of them to want to be relieved of suffering, or is it selfish of you for you wanting to stay around and suffer longer? Again, compassion would be the better choice here than to, you know, decide how other people ought to live. Now, this one is, the next thing I'm going to be talking about as far as it applying to reality is really something that people tend to be very hypocritical of, and that is drug use. Now, when I say drug use, I'm not only talking about marijuana, heroin, meth. I'm talking about smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol, and other such things. The fact of the matter is, or prescription meds, that's even a more fun thing right there. So let me explain. Prohibition had never in its entire history worked to stop people from using drugs as they saw fit. And that's something that needs to be taken away from here, that this is an effort in futility, so to speak, when we talk about subverting people's right to consume what they wish to consume, whether it's a mind-altering hallucinogen, or it's having a beer after work, or it's taking a 5-minute smoke break. Saying no, you can't do this is assaulting people's bodily autonomy and therefore subverting their individual liberty. And again, mind your own fucking business. When we come back, we'll continue talking about solutions, perhaps. Alright, and welcome back to what I believe will be the final segment of this podcast. So, what is the remedy here? Now, there's two parts to this. There's your part, you know, the internal part, the part that is you, and then there is the world at large part. So let's talk about you first. As far as a remedy, it means that you're going to have to work on yourself. You're going to have to ask yourself some very tough questions, and you're going to have to come to some sort of an answer. The first question you're going to have to ask yourself is, am I really for or against bodily autonomy? And let me explain that. Bodily autonomy is a puzzle piece. If you're not for it unconditionally, you're not for it at all. Because, as we have seen in the past 2 years, the rights violation that you are willing to hand over to the government to do can just as easily be used against you with the same justification. So, when you are not unconditionally for bodily autonomy, you are for subverting that regardless. Whether or not you believe that that's going to be a consequence or not is irrelevant, that it's a historical fact. People who support the subversion of human rights by a regime often end up becoming fodder for that human rights violation machine. Okay, so you have to really ask yourself, and if you decide that you are unconditionally for bodily autonomy, you have to test that. You have to decide, what is the bodily autonomy issue that I cannot abide by? or is something that is morally repugnant to me? And can I sit there and say, yes, I disagree with what they did, but it's their body and it's their choice, and therefore you cannot take that away from them. That is their bodily autonomy. If you aren't unconditional in your support for bodily autonomy, as I had said before, it's like a puzzle. If you don't have that unconditional part, it's going to fall apart. And then you're just not for bodily autonomy. You're just for privileges. And that's not a good place to be. So really what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to look inward. You're going to have to make that decision that this is what you want to be. You want to be for bodily autonomy. And then you have to take all of those things, like I did with abortion before, and say, I don't agree with this. I don't think that this is the best that humanity can do. I don't think this should be happening in the world. But I do understand that it's their body. It's their bodily autonomy. And that is not my fucking business. And if you can't do that, if that's something that is outside of your scope to do, that you can't open the door for assaults on bodily autonomy, well, then you just have to take your shit and go over to the I'm with the government camp and enjoy, because that's just where it's at for you. As far as the world at large is concerned, I would like to quote Albert Camus. The only way to deal with an unfree world is to become so absolutely free that your very existence is an act of rebellion. Now, Albert, he was a freedom fighter in France during World War II. He's a journalist and author, a Frenchman. and all that jazz. So if anyone would understand rights violating monstrosity governments and occupiers, I believe it would be him. But we have to remember, it's not enough to not attack people that you disagree with exerting their bodily autonomy. You have to actually champion the fact that they have bodily autonomy. You can still disagree with what they do. You could still pull your association away from those people. You don't have to associate with people you don't want to. If they do something that was within their bodily autonomy and you don't want to associate with them, well, then just don't. But you have to support their bodily autonomy. And I hope this has given somebody a nugget of something to work with. I will talk to you guys next week. Hopefully my work schedule won't be so crazy. I will see you then. Bye-bye.